This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter. And for this episode, we're taking a look at the various challenges in getting the skin on our body to look and feel as healthy as the skin on our face. Whether that's knees and necks or arms, hands, jowls, all those tricky bits that can be hard to improve. Take a listen to Dr. Sophie talk about new technologies.
It certainly seems to be a technique that's been very popular and successful in the US, and I'm excited to see more results coming through.
And her approach.
If someone has a lot of skin laxity, it might be that we choose to work on.
Naturally, we talk skincare.
We have had some brilliant results with a product called.
And we talk about managing expectations.
I am a real fan of it, but again, it doesn't do everything.
Thanks for listening, and remember to find Dr. Sophie on her socials at Dr. Sophie Schotter. Well, I feel like this, Sophie, is a little bit like that old nursery rhyme, heads, shoulders, knees and toes, because we're working through a pretty unique set of individual body parts. And I know from your first ever AMA Insta Live that you had loads of questions on the stuff we're about to cover. As ever, we'll caveat by saying that we're not saying people have to fix these things in their body. We're simply saying that these are options if certain things are bothering people. To me, it's no different than covering up a spot with a bit of concealer. So anyway, if we start from the lower end of the body up, knees, what can we do about either crepey skin on the knees or even excess fat on the knees?
Knees are an area that bother a lot of people. And it's exactly as you said, these two things. It's either excess fatty pockets, and bearing in mind a lot of skirts finish around that level. And crepey skin is definitely something that can develop as we age a bit more. So I guess because the options are different for the two, let's deal with kind of loose or crepey skin first. And just like the skin on our face, as we age, the skin on our body goes through the same process of losing collagen and elastin. And part of that is just aging that would happen anyway, what we call intrinsic aging. But it's also down to the impact of sun exposure and lifestyle. And bear in mind, there are significant chunks of the year where most of us do have our knees out in the sun. And all of these things contribute to that crepey skin around the knee. And unfortunately, there is no magic cure. And maybe that's why we see so many celebrities whose faces are remarkably wrinkle-free. But it's a different story when we look at body areas. And I know poor Elle Macpherson had a rough time recently when someone snapped photos of her quite sun-damaged looking arms with her beautifully wrinkle-free face. Yeah. And it's not about judgment. All it is in my eyes is a little bit of a tricky issue. If we want to maintain this consistent appearance where we just look more youthful, it can be hard to marry up what's going on above the décolletage with what's going on below. But having said all of this, there are things that can be done to improve the knee area. So one option is using radiofrequency microneedling on the body. And there are lots of different devices. So a common one people might talk about is Morpheus 8. We have a device called the Profound RF, but there are also many other devices available. And these combine the technology of small needles that penetrate the skin and then deliver radiofrequency energy. And they help to improve skin texture and stimulate some collagen production, which can really help to improve the look of crepiness. And we can also use ultrasound skin tightening devices on the body. You have to be the right candidate. This isn't something that will work for everyone. But just as we can tighten skin above the neck, we can also tighten skin below it. And in some people, you might think about combining some of these energy devices with, be it surgical procedures or non-surgical fat reduction procedures like CoolSculpting. So if someone has a lot of skin laxity, it might be that we choose to work on the skin quality before then reducing the fat pad, which could in turn cause more skin laxity. Another great option if you're looking to regenerate the skin quality is Profilo Body. And Profilo is a skin injectable technology that so many people will have heard of. And the body product is the same as the face product. It's just that it comes in a bigger syringe together with a home use product and also some patches that we apply post procedure. And we've had some really fantastic results for improving crepiness and and skin quality and in stubborn body areas. And also using what we call hyperdiluted biostimulatory products. So this can be products like Radiesse or Sculptra. And these can be used in the face, but we can also use them on the body in a much more dilute solution to help strengthen and rebuild the skin from beneath. And that can give a really nice effect. People can use lasers on the body. Bearing in mind, body skin is different than facial skin, so you want to be in the hands of an expert. And microneedling, we have a device called the skin pen, and some people even use old-fashioned rollers, although I'm less of a fan of those. And a series of treatments of that can give some really brilliant results. And I guess the most invasive approach is going to be surgical. And this is where surgeons would do something called a thigh lift. So there are incisions in the groin area and in most cases also down the length of the thigh. And the excess skin is removed. So this tightens the skin up and reduces the appearance of sagging and crepiness. But of course, it's a big operation and it can leave a relatively significant scar. There are some surgeons who will perform a more localized excision of skin, where an actual incision is around the knee and then the skin is cut out. And that can be an option in some cases, but you really need a surgeon who knows what they're doing. And again, bearing in mind that this can leave visible scarring around the knee itself. There are some practitioners performing thread lifts on the body, but I would say I'm not a big fan of thread lifting for the body. The skin and the tissues there are structurally different. And also the way we move at a joint like our knee means it's going to be very hard to have efficacy. And I think going on to something else that I really am going to say doesn't work is wrinkle relaxers. Not every wrinkle is a wrinkle that's going to respond to a wrinkle relaxer. And wrinkles on your knees definitely will not.
Which is a shame because that would have kept it really simple, wouldn't it?
Exactly. It's always if we think about lines caused by movement, that's where the wrinkle relaxers come in. And when it's others, that's to do with collagen breakdown. And we need to think about other options. Yeah. And we also can't underestimate lifestyle and the more holistic options. So exercise, thinking about if you help to target those quad muscles that sit on the front of the thigh, that can help to hold the skin beneath it more tightly, bearing in mind that we do lose muscle mass as we age, so our muscles tend to shrink. So something like squats, if you do them properly, can help. They should build up your glutes, but they also can strengthen your quads and leg extensions. Body creams. There's no magic bullet here, but there are some body creams that can stimulate collagen and elastin production. A few products around with retinol or peptides, although the EU regulations around retinol in skincare are about to change. And body products will only be able to have a very minuscule percentage unless they're recommended by a physician. Skincare available commercially for the face will only be able to have a retinol percentage of up to 0.3 and for the body up to 0.05%. So we're talking about much smaller percentages than people are currently buying. And anything stronger will have to be in physicians' hands.
So stock up now.
Or actually get some expert advice, because that's what this is saying. Retinol is an ingredient that can have consequences if it's not used properly. So it's not to say these products won't be available. They'll just be only available under expert guidance.
Because people might slap it on and do things like not use an SPF, and you need an SPF. So yeah.
Yeah. There is a hero body product that I love, which is the Body Firm by Revision. And that is excellent for slightly loose or crepey skin on the body. And use it in the areas where you have those concerns rather than all over. And I've seen some really great results for patients. And also body brushing can help to improve the skin's appearance, just because it's boosting the drainage of toxins and it's improving circulation. So you're going to get more micronutrients and oxygen to the skin that you've been dry brushing.
So if the problem isn't sagging, but excess fat on the knee, are we looking at a different set of treatments and things?
Yes. So when we're talking about fat, we have to remember that just staying slim doesn't always help for a few reasons. Firstly, you can be a perfect body weight and really healthy and still have pockets of fat that are stubborn and don't shift. And one of those is often the knee. Mm. And also, if we think about shrinking, those fat pockets can be holding the skin tight. And so you could end up with more skin laxity. And I'd say it's even worse in yo-yo dieters, as the skin doesn't necessarily bounce back as well as we get older. And so you can be left with loose skin. Mm. In terms of options, starting more gently, things like fat dissolving injections. Some people might have heard of Kybella in the USA, it's Belkyra in the UK. And we also use a deoxycholic acid product called Celluform Plus. And this can be excellent for small targeted pockets of fat. And we have to remember that Kybella Belkyra is on label for the submentum, which is the under chin area. But people do use it off label in other areas. You can use CoolSculpting on the knee pads. So that can be an excellent option for many people, provided they're the right size. There's a brilliant kind of, it's called Cool Mini and a Cool Petite if it's slightly bigger. But there are so many different sizes of applicators now. And the Emerald Laser is another excellent option. And this kind of treats a whole area rather than a grabbable pocket. So brilliant if you've got excess fat. And then when we get on to surgical options, some people might be candidates for liposuction. And there's also a kind of a next generation liposuction procedure called AirSculpt that's been developed by an American surgeon and is now also available in the UK. It's done through under local anaesthetic through the tiniest little needle-sized hole. So it doesn't need stitches afterwards, for example, and the downtime is significantly less. And he has some brilliant results. And I will finish this section by saying, again, remember those preventative measures like avoiding yo-yo dieting and wearing sunscreen. If you have your knees out, put some sunscreen on them.
Going back to the AirSculpt, the liposuction and this new technique, would you say that would be the gold standard?
I think it's too early to say it's the gold standard. And actually, it's something I will chat to a good plastic surgery colleague about and ask their opinion on. But it certainly seems to be a technique that's been very popular and successful in the US, and I'm excited to see more results coming through. I would say when it comes to fat reduction, liposuction is the gold standard, but we have to remember that when someone also has skin laxity, the liposuction may need to be combined with other things. So a common area people think about is with abdomens. And you might think, oh, I've got some excess fat, let's think about some liposuction. But for many people, they also need skin removal because they have excess skin. And this is where tummy tucks then come into play. And the same holds true around the thighs and the knees.
Yeah, it's that excess skin, which is much, much harder, actually, in many ways, isn't it? Which is why many women after pregnancy, they lose their weight, but actually they've got that bit of a tummy, haven't they, because of the excess skin. Okay, so onto hands. How can hands age us?
Hands are one of the easiest areas to see, because even if you're wearing trousers, you can hide your legs, but our hands are on show alongside our face. They're the thing that get most sun exposure. And I would say, going back to sunscreen again, we often neglect our hands, even if we're good at putting them on our face. There's a few things to talk about when it comes to hands and how our hands look. And the first one is less to do with aging, but nail staining. I think our hands are so on display, and there are many things that can cause nail stains. Chemicals from cleaning products, smoking's a really common one. In some cultures, eating a lot of or cooking with turmeric and the raw turmeric can cause problems. And also there are some health problems or deficiencies or some infections that can cause nail staining. But a really probably nowadays, the most common cause is pigments in nail products. And nail plates, which are what are painted every time we have our nails done, they're made up of layers of keratin, but the keratin itself is really porous. And nail polish pigments can seep down into them over time. So how quickly you can fix this staining really depends on the cause of it. If it's to do with nail varnish pigments, that typically only affects at the surface and can be removed relatively easily. For some other causes that may penetrate the nail plate a bit deeper, you may even just have to wait for it to grow out.
Yeah.
If you want to try some DIY nail staining tips, like so many things, vinegar is a brilliant home remedy. So try mixing a tablespoon of vinegar in a cup of warm water and then just soak your nails in it for 10 to 15 minutes. And another good one, again, great for so many things, is baking soda, bicarbonate of soda, and making a paste with that that you then apply onto the nail itself and let it sit there before rinsing off. A few options there, and there are some shop-bought remedies. Sally Hansen, I think, has one, a tinted colour-correcting nail treatment. But for some people, you do need to think about just letting that staining grow out.
Other things
that you can do, though, for your nail health, there are some really good nail treatments out there nowadays. And I've heard quite a lot about something, a company called Creative Nail Design, and they have a rescue daily keratin treatment. And it's a brush on oil that contains keratin. And they say you must massage it twice daily. But I've heard really good things about that. And biotin is a brilliant supplement many people know about for hair, but it's also really useful for brittle nails. And using a hand cream, because you really can't go wrong with a good hand cream. There are a couple by a brand called Nida Beauty, which I really like. They have a Salva hand cream, which is like, they call it like wearing a pair of invisible gloves through the day. And also the Circa hand cream, which is one for overnight. And I also adore Otto's CBD hand balm, which is just divine and also smells lovely.
Yeah. Going back to hands, because you're right, I mean, gosh, stained nails really can be a giveaway. But of course, as you say, a lot of us do overlook the actual skin on our hands, and it is a giveaway, isn't it? So what can we do in terms of treatments for hands that perhaps look a little bit like they need some TLC?
We do put our hands through a lot. It's not just the sun exposure, it's also repetitive hand washing. And I mean, I saw so many people with hand issues after COVID. And structurally as well, the skin on our hands is thin and it's less sebaceous. So especially on the back of our hand, it doesn't produce oil in the way our facial skin does. And so it is just a little bit more fragile and delicate and does tend to show more signs of aging. So you can lose volume in the hands and that can make kind of your tendons show or your veins bulge. We can also be quite prone to sunspots developing on the hands. So hyperpigmentation. And I'm just going to say it again because it is so important, but prevention is better than cure if you can. If you're putting sunscreen on, run it down over your hands as well. When it comes to treatments, if prominent veins are your concern or those kind of visible tendons, then we can help to restore volume in the hands, either with hyaluronic acid fillers. But personally, my real favourite is Harmonica, because Harmonica is this hybrid of hyaluronic acid and calcium hydroxyapatite to help stimulate that collagen production in the skin. So you don't just get the immediate volumization, you also get this improvement in the skin quality. So that's a real go-to for me. Profilo or polynucleotides can really work well if you just have a bit of crepiness and dehydration in the hand skin. And there are also, thinking about the vein side of it, some surgeons who will use various types of laser therapy to treat these more prominent veins in the hand. And I would say this really has to be subject to consultation because not everything can be removed. And so really see an expert vascular surgeon to discuss that. And pigmentation can be treated so well with either chemical peel techniques or laser techniques. There are some clever things we can do with peels on the body where we spot treat the bits that have got the age spot and then blend the whole area with something slightly gentler. So some really good techniques nowadays.
Yeah. And going back to hand creams, I've heard good things about La Roche-Posay's Psychoplast hand. So I thought I'd mention that as well.
Yeah, very good if you've got very dry, dehydrated skin.
Yeah, yeah. What about the arms? And can I just say, I hate the phrase bingo wings.
Oh, me too. We use such unflattering terms for things about our body. Crow's feet lines, bingo wings, saddlebags. But the arms are a really common area of concern, and particularly for women, it tends to be something that hits more in peri and postmenopause. And the skin on the upper arm seems to be particularly affected by that estrogen decline. So the estrogen decline causes our collagen and elastin levels to deplete more rapidly. And so you really do get a lot more laxity on the upper arms. So the dreaded bingo wing term, this tends to happen not just because of skin laxity, but also because in some people, it's not even that the fat pads of the upper arm become bigger, but they can become more lax, so the fat pads themselves aren't sitting as tightly. But in most of us as we age, we have kind of two fat layers in the upper arms, the subcutaneous and the deeper fat. And this subcutaneous fat layer is the one that tends to become often a little bit bigger. And again, we have to think that if you try and address that by losing weight, a rapid weight loss can make sagging skin worse rather than improving the situation. Like with everything, sun exposure comes into this. But technology is constantly evolving and there are a few things we can do. I'm a big fan of Profilo Body for the upper arms. I've had some brilliant results in this area. And so I know we've talked about that for knees already, but it is brilliant for the upper arms. And again, we can use these radio frequency microneedling or ultrasound devices. But RF needling can be very effective. And indeed, I'm just going to throw it in there, but abdomens as well. So a lot of women post-childbirth are left with lax skin on the stomach. And I've seen some brilliant results with RF needling for that loose body skin. Cool sculpting can be an excellent option for the underarms. How much you need really depends on an examination because it will vary between individuals quite dramatically, depending on the size of your arm and the length of your fat pads. But it can really help to reduce the size of that fat pad. And those fat cells that have been killed by the treatment are then naturally processed by your body and eliminated, and your arms are left looking more defined. But like we talked about with the thighs, if there's a lot of loose skin there, for example, after weight loss, then often the best course of action, again, is surgery. And this comes down to something called a brachioplasty or an arm lift, and usually involves a long incision down the length of the arm. There are some surgeons in very specific cases, so it depends on if the patient is right for this, who can do something called a short scar brachioplasty, which just leaves the scar in the armpit. But it really does depend on the individual and whether they're suitable for that.
And I'm imagining you'd want somebody that's very experienced in any kind of arm lift because it seems quite specialist.
I would say there are plastic surgeons who love doing and therefore are expert at different things. And there are some surgeons who really do excel at these kind of body excess skin makeovers. And sometimes that might be after massive weight loss. One many people talk about is mummy makeovers, which tends to be tummies and breasts. But there are some surgeons who really are excellent at this.
And thank you for mentioning the post-pregnancy body, because I know that for a lot of women, including me, I had twins. Often you look at your body and you lose the weight, but you do have the excess skin. So I think we're going to do a podcast on pregnancy, breastfeeding, and things like that. So we'll cover that there. Should we talk about lines and wrinkles on the, I know how to pronounce décolletage, but I'm always getting it wrong. So I'm really sorry.
Don't worry. I say décolletage, but you know, it's tomato, tomato to me.
Lines and wrinkles on the décolletage.
Yes. So again, this area it's got thin skin, common theme here again, and it's got less oil glands than the skin on our face. And as with all the other areas, it does lose collagen and elastin. And we have to think in this area, a lot of us have a reasonable amount of UV exposure over time because naturally our chest sticks out a little bit more, especially if we're women. There's a few things we can look at doing. Injectables, be that skin boosters or polynucleotides, or even some techniques with biostimulators. We have had some brilliant results with a product called Juvelook using a mesotherapy gun on the décolletage. And these work to really stimulate collagen production and to hydrate from within. Energy-based devices like soft wave or radio frequency microneedling, and also normal microneedling. So again, we're using the skin pen, and the décolletage is a really popular area for treatment. I guess the one thing I haven't touched on in terms of why lines and wrinkles in this area are caused is sleep position. And often this is an issue for women with bigger breasts. But if you side sleep, you'll find you're more prone to developing heavier creasing. And so it's not necessarily about eradicating the lines, but it's about supporting this area to age well.
Gosh, that's such an interesting point. And because you haven't said SPF, I'll say it on your behalf.
Thanks.
Because I know that I'm I'm guilty of not putting it on there enough. So yes, let's mention SPF, of course. Right, next, and I'm can't help but think about, there's a Nora Ephron book, I Feel Bad About My Neck and Other Thoughts on Being a Woman. Again, we're being body positive. We promise we are. We're just giving out options. But there is a cultural thing about being a woman, let's be honest. And I think necks are one thing that, yeah, a lot of us do feel bad about. So what can we do about the lines and wrinkles on our necks?
Necks are one of the biggest areas of concern that people come to see me in clinic with. A really right. common concern. And again, the same thing as I've said around the décolletage. Thin skin, less sebaceous glands. So a lot of people I know will have tried to use their facial skincare products on their neck and struggled with it because they think, I'm using good anti-aging skincare, let's use it on my neck, and particularly acids and retinols. Because the skin here is less sebaceous, you can react quite differently in your neck area. So I would always say, have a good dedicated neck cream. And there's a few that I really rate. The Revision Neck to Firm Advanced is amazing. Skin Better Science's Techno Neck Perfecting Cream, which boosts the levels of something called nitric oxide in the neck skin, helps to kind of improve circulation of micronutrients and oxygen. And the other one that I love is the Elastin Regenerating Neck Complex. That is a brilliant product as well. Treatment-wise, the pillars are going to be similar. Thinking about skin boosters, so Profilo is brilliant. We also have a lovely polynucleotide product called Filart Next, which combines uncross-linked hyaluronic acid with polynucleotides. So you get this kind of double whammy. And we find that really good for people who are quite dehydrated and have had some lovely results for necks. And the skin tightening treatments we talk about. So Softwave is a personal favourite on necks because it's the depth it treats at means we can safely treat even over the central band of the neck, which most other devices can't be used to treat over. So it lets us give this much more 360 approach to the neck. There's just no one treatment that does everything. As we always say, no one magic bullet that does all of the things, but combining these treatments works really well.
Mm-hmm. You've preempted my next question, which was going to be about a skincare routine. But I was just wondering, you've given some recommendations for particularly around the neck area. If someone's never bothered and they're in their late 40s, 50s, older, if they've never bothered with putting anything on their neck and they're like, oh, crikey, I've got all these lines, is it too late?
It's never too late, but remember, the results might not be as dramatic as if you'd used it maybe more preemptively. But it's never too late to invest in skincare. I am actually going to mention one other one. It's great for neck as well, but this one's my go-to on the décolletage, which is the Absolute Collagen Deep Lift Neck and Décolletage Cream. And it is such a lovely texture. It feels really great to use and lovely and hydrating and supporting collagen production in that area.
Thank you. And as always, we'll list all these products out in the show notes. Finally, I know you had loads of questions about this on your Insta Live in March. Can we talk about jowls and also an interview you did in Harper's Bazaar where you talk about something called Volux?
So jowls refer to sagging in the lower part of the face along the jawline, really common in both men and women. And again, is one of the most common concerns people come to see me about in clinic, which is why I got so many questions on that Instagram Live. And jowls are caused by a combination of different issues, partly the bone structure changing as we age. So the jaw actually shrinking and becoming less dense, and also the cheekbones flattening out and becoming smaller. So there's just not so much tension in the tissue. We then lose collagen in the skin and also in some of the deeper layers like the SMAS, and we lose fat volume in the face. So it tends to be this combination that causes jowls to form, which is often why they're not as easy to fix as people think. The common thing I see is people come in and they put their fingers at the back of their cheek and they just lift upwards and they say, I just want that. Mm-hmm. And actually that's much harder to achieve than people realise. So Volux comes in. It's a type of filler by Allergan. So it's a filler in the Juvederm family. And Volux came out in 2019 specifically designed for the jawline area. Mm-hmm. And I am a real fan of it. But again, it doesn't do everything. So combination treatments come in, lasers to tighten up the skin, radio frequency microneedling. And again, this is where I love the Profound RF, because we can also target the fat layer deliberately to give targeted shrinking. And we use a lot of Softwave for this area. Again, it's a real workhorse for us in clinic. Some other practitioners use Ultherapy, which is another ultrasound-based device, but that is where the similarities between the two end. And I would say, oh, therapy in the hands of a practitioner who really knows how to use it can also generate some great lift. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the fillers, this is where it's so good to have the Volux, because we have a product specifically designed for this area. So as I mentioned, the bony changes, Volux is designed to emulate that bony structure to give us shape, contour, definition and support. So we can use it to improve the appearance of jowls, but also to improve the appearance of a double chin, because by restoring some of that jawline framework, we improve the tension through the submental tissues. I would say that after the fact, Volux can sometimes feel a little bit more tender, but that's very short-lived and patients can take a couple of paracetamol if needed.
Mm-hmm. So how would Volux compare with Celluform Plus versus, is it Belkyra?
Yeah.
Or Kybella for US listeners, and also versus Cool Sculpting, which is also often used for a double chin?
So they're just different. Volux is a filler that is going to add volume to the jaw area where volume is often depleted. Whereas these other techniques, be it Celluform Plus or Belkyra or Cool Sculpting, are designed to reduce specifically the fat pad that sits underneath the chin, the submental fat pad. So filler is increasing the size of the supporting structures, whereas these other techniques are reducing the size of the fat pad themselves. And they're all ways of permanently killing the fat cells in that area. And we've seen people who have got a BMI of 18 who still have a double chin. So it's very common concern and not necessarily weight related. So I, again, often find if someone does have excess submental fat, a combination of treatments will work best, combining possibly, depending on them and their age and their anatomy, some skin tightening with some fat reduction, with some filler, can give some great results.
Well, that's another brilliant rundown of all the options and technologies and treatments available. Dr. Sophie, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, V.
That ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.